objections. You may disconnect at this time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Glenn, can you do a roll call?
Yes, certainly, Avery. We have on the call Philip Shepherd.
Yes.
Mike Rodenbach.
Yes.
Christina Rosette. Christina, I see her on the screen.
She got disconnected.
Tony Harris.
I'm here.
Maggie Mansourkia.
Yes.
William Drake.
Here for now.
Adrian Kinderis.
Happily here.
Tim Ruiz.
Here.
Stefan van Gelder.
Yeah.
Chuck Gomes.
Here.
Edmund Chan.
Here.
Jordi Iparaguirre. He hasn't joined yet, but as far as I know, he will be joining. Terry Davis. Avery Doria.
Here.
Olga Cavelli.
Present.
And we have apologies from Tony Holmes, who is traveling, from Mary Wong, who has a class at this time, from Carlos Souza, and from Zaid Jamil. I think he's either traveling, or if not, it is 3 o'clock in the morning for him.
Okay, thank you. And Christina was here, but her phone is currently disconnected. So I expect that she'll be back. Do we have quorum without her getting back?
Yes.
Yes, we do. But do we still have all of the constituencies without her getting back?
Actually, we don't have all the constituencies, but we have quorum if she doesn't
get back.
Okay,
great. Thanks.
Jordi has just joined.
Hello.
Okay, thank you.
Good night.
Hi. Okay. So we can start. First of all, welcome, Maggie.
Thank you. I'm happy.
And then the first item is updating any statements of interest. I assume that you have sent in a statement. Is that correct?
I did, and of course, I did not give everybody enough time to really see it or digest it. I apologize for that. I sent it earlier this afternoon, and I noticed it came through. Glenn forwarded it to the list just prior to the call.
Okay. Would you be willing to just give people a quick introduction for those that don't already know you?
Absolutely. So I'm Maggie Mansourkia. I know that I've worked with and have met many of you, but many others are completely new names to me. So I have been with Verizon since 2006, and I was with MCI before that. Our two companies merged in 2006. I've been a member of the ISPCP since 2001. And I'm an attorney by trade. I work for Verizon as the Chief Privacy Counsel and Assistant General Counsel. And I clearly, obviously, focus on privacy compliance and security compliance issues, but also cover a variety of Internet policy issues for Verizon. And that's pretty much it as far as my interest in anything related to ICANN. I bake cookies and cupcakes on my off time, but I doubt that would ever be an issue with anything or any organization related to ICANN. And that's it. So I'm just looking forward to working with everyone and getting up to speed on the countless number of issues. I'd forgotten the amount of work that council does, so I'm incredibly impressed with all of you. But I will be covering the ISPCP on council for my former colleague, Greg Ruth, who is no longer with the company, unfortunately, just until we get to Seoul and we have our election for our next round of counselors.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, and again, welcome. And now, on the agenda, I added one section on the status, and that's on the Advisory Committee Supporting Organization, or AXO, a meeting topic. So, and I put in the section in the Wiki minutes, which I believe are also up on the Adobe, some of the options that have been discussed on the list. I haven't made any other changes to the agenda. Any other items or changes that we should make to the agenda?
Yes, Avery, it's Adrian. I've got some suggestions.
Okay.
First one is the registrar constituency would like to discuss Seoul and the potential for a a small gathering before we start in order to potentially clear the air and just have a general discussion with everybody and introduce some new members. So I'd like to talk about that a bit further.
Oh, okay, so I'll put that under the any other business, which is basically a discussion. I'm not sure I understood, but okay, I'll just put it on and we can do it then. Discussion, re-registrars before. When you say before Seoul, do you mean like the weekend?
Yeah.
The weekend.
Actually at Seoul before the start of the meeting. But anyway, I can go into that. But I won't be making any sense for another half hour until I wake up. So.
Okay.
And secondly, it strikes me that potentially a discussion around prioritization of work might be handy. That's only my opinion. If no one else wants to talk about that, I'm happy to help too.
I missed part of that. Could you repeat that?
My second point was to discuss prioritization of work.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, thanks.
Right. Yeah, and that's something that, you know, I've sort of been just trying to keep us going with the work as opposed to getting into the priority, waiting for the new council to talk about prioritization in general. But certainly I'd put it on the agenda. And it seems to me that that's actually a topic that should come up sort of as a thread throughout the agenda whenever we talk about adding a new item, but I've stuck it into any other business. Anything else? Okay, in which case we'll proceed with that, with those items in any other business. The next item, and I'll save this agenda so people can see it. The next item is to approve the GNSO Council minutes. We have the minutes from... Oh, the date's not on here. So these are the minutes from the last meeting. Is that correct, Glenn?
The 13th of August.
Right, the meeting's from the 13th of August, and they're in the archive. Is there a motion for those minutes?
I'll make that motion. Go ahead.
Okay.
That's fine.
No, Charlie, you go.
So I've got Chuck and Adrian, one as making the motion and one as second.
That was Stefan.
Oh, it was Stefan. So sorry.
No problem.
I've done that before. I apologize.
I don't know whether to be insulted by that, Avery, but I'll be quiet.
I'll say that, Adrian, but as we've been recorded.
Right. Okay. So, okay, are there any comments or issues with those minutes? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor of accepting those minutes, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed to those minutes, please say nay. Are there any abstentions on those minutes? Okay, the minutes passed unanimously. Moving on, the next item is the confirmation of chair for the IRTP Part B working group.
Avery, it's Philip here. If I may, I would like to make a point of order at this moment.
Okay, certainly.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'd like to stress first I'm not speaking in a personal capacity. I'm not speaking on behalf of the business constituency. I am being mandated to speak on behalf of the three constituencies which will be forming the commercial stakeholder group. That is the BC, the ISP, and the IPCs. And I shall now read out a statement that has been prepared by those constituencies. The constituencies of the commercial stakeholder group would like to express their concern when they learnt from Avery Doria's statement of interest as she joined the NCUC on the 4th of August 2009. Our concern reflects both timing and ethics. On timing, the timing is misguided, as the term of GNSO chair does not end until October. Additionally, the timing is misguided at this period of structural change and associated tensions. On ethics, Ms. Doria stated that she had joined the NCUC in solidarity due to the mistreatment she believed the non-commercial stakeholder group received from the ICANN board. Ms. Doria said she intended to continue to function as previously and will not speak for the NCUC. However, NOMCOM appointees are required under the NOMCOM Code of Ethics to be, quote, individuals of the highest integrity to place the broad public interest ahead of any particular interests. Council is now in a position where a NOMCOM appointee is the council chair, yet has publicly declared an alignment with one particular interest. This situation, therefore, questions the level of confidence in the GNSO chair and in one of the GNSO NOMCOM appointees. Looking to the future. In order to prevent a future lapse in ethical behavior and to maintain the integrity of the NOMCOM process, the Commercial Stakeholders Group have written to the Board Governance Committee asking them to consider one of two options. Option one, converting all NCAs to non-voting status on the GNSO Council. Option two, a prohibition in the bylaws for an NCA member being a member of a constituency or stakeholder group. This point of order ends. That is the end of our statement. Thank you very much for your attention.
Okay, thank you. Chuck, I'd like to turn over the chair to you to deal with whether there's any discussion or further discussion on this, please.
Okay, Ari, thank you. I would like to start off by taking a cue. Who would like to be in the cue on this?
Bill.
Who is that?
Bill.
I could not.
Bill Drake.
Oh, Bill. Thank you, Bill. It wasn't come through clearly. This may be my hearing. Okay, thanks, Bill.
Olga,
yes?
Would you like to be in the cue?
Thank you, Olga. Who else? Okay, you can jump in the queue later. I'm going to put myself in the queue as well, if you don't mind, as the acting chair right now. I'll do that not as acting chair, but and sharing my own personal views. Okay, Bill, go ahead.
I was wondering if Philip could explain a few things. Being aligned with one constituency, how exactly has that been manifested, and how exactly has her role been compromised? What are some examples of the ways in which this has been deleterious to the work of the council as a whole and eroded your confidence?
Do we want to go one-to-one or to hear some points first?
No, I'd like to hear what your argument is.
I was asking the chat.
I'm sorry. I didn't understand what you said, Philip.
No, I said, do you want me to hear the cue first and then respond, or to respond one to one?
Thank you. Go ahead and respond, Philip.
Thank you. We had read out a statement which explained a concern and explained action that we were taking. It related to the chairing of this meeting. It was not a proposal for action.
Okay.
Okay, but I'm not understanding exactly what the nature of the complaint is. How has the performance of the chair function been compromised? What are some examples of that?
Let me quote what I said earlier. NOMCOM appointees are required under the NOMCOM Code of Ethics to represent individuals of the highest integrity who place the broad public interest ahead of any particular interests.
So are there examples, Philip, where that has not happened?
We have seen a statement from our chair which related to a particular interest, that being the interest of the non-commercial stakeholder group.
Chuck, can you put me in the queue at the end, please? This is Aubrey. I'll respond to issues at the end, please.
Yeah, and Alan also.
Okay.
Chuck
okay.
And Stefan also, please.
Okay.
Tony Harris.
Okay.
Let me say at this point, Chuck, this is not a motion of no confidence in the chair. It was a statement of activity that we have taken in relation to that.
Okay. All right. Bill, did you have anything else?
No. I mean, if the argument is simply that as a appointee, the role or joining NCUC is inappropriate, I take that point if that's the argument. But I note that Philip has not given any examples of how actually the chair function has been compromised or its ethics called into question.
Thank you, Bill. Olga, you're next.
Thank you very much, Chuck. Philip, I would like to ask you, perhaps you can clarify to me, so your proposal for non-com appointees would be that we don't vote or we belong to a constituency. Why do you think this is feasible, that if we represent the community and we have been selected by non-com to serve in the council, why shouldn't we be not able to vote in one side? And why should we belong to a constituency if we don't want to, and if we want to be part of the whole community?
Also, thank you. The principle that we are trying to make here is that we believe the nominating committee appointees to council should follow the code of ethics of the NOMCOM, which is they represent the broad public interest and not any particular interest who can be otherwise represented on council, regardless of what that interest is.
Okay, but so you're supposing that we are not going to that rule. So we have to be in a constituency or we have to not be able to vote. So you're supposing
no.
that...
No.
That's the point.
No,
my point.
The principle is either you, as non-commercial appointees, you represent the broad public interest, and therefore you vote, or you represent a particular interest, which may be a particular interest of the constituencies of the GNSO, in which case it is inappropriate to be an NCA, but it is appropriate to be a member of the constituency and to be represented via the constituency.
So, Philip, if I can just follow up on that just to make sure that all of us are clearly understanding. The concern is not specifically that Aubrey herself actually did anything unethical, but that she didn't, that you believe she did not follow the ethical requirement of the NOMCOM itself. Is that correct?
Aubrey's actions have compromised the integrity of the existing process, and we are seeking an action from the BGC to prevent such a lapse in the future.
Okay. All right, but again, the action that was a problem was the fact that she joined the NCUC, not that she did anything as chair that other than that one action. In other words, her performance has not compromised her integrity or her ethics in any way, other than the fact that you're saying she joined a constituency and she shouldn't have done that. Am I understanding correctly?
We have seen Avery joining a constituency which is a member of the GNSO and represents a particular interest, and we have seen statements of intent from Avery in terms of the activities she intends to take as a part of that constituency and that particular interest.
Okay, thank you. And but you haven't observed any particular task she's performed as in her role as chair, not in her role as an individual, that has compromised her responsibilities. Is that correct?
We are not at this moment making a motion of no confidence, correct?
Could you restate that, please?
We are not at this moment making a motion of no confidence.
Okay. All right. Just because I'm in the chair right now, if nobody objects, I'll put myself into the queue so that I don't monopolize it as chair and go ahead and move ahead to Avery if there are no objections to that.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to make two statements. One is I did check with legal counsel before doing this to make sure that in no way was I breaching any of the rules and received clearance that I was not doing so. And two, as I stated in my attention, since my attentions were brought in, that the only role in which I will participate with the NCUC has to do with the restructuring, which is specifically not a council activity, but a constituency activity. In all things to do with the council and with any of its issues, with any of the council issues, I will continue to behave as I always have as an NCA, which very much means I could end up going against an NCUC position. It's only with regard to the restructuring activities that I will participate with the NCUC until such time as my term as an NCA has ended. Thank you.
Thank you, Avery. Alan, you're next.
Yes, I think there's two issues. In Philip's statement, there was reference to Avery being a NOMCOM appointee and to her being chair. In terms of being chair, the previous chair was a member of the registrar's constituency. There was no secret about that. And most chairs of the GNSO, or all chairs of the GNSO prior to Avery, have been members of a constituency. So that part does not seem to be relevant at all. In regard to the issue of a NOMCOM appointee being a member of a constituency, most constituencies within the GNSO do not accept individuals as members of their organizations. And I would like a clarification from Philip whether he is saying an individual cannot belong to a constituency or the employer of an individual cannot belong to a constituency. Because if the latter is true, I think we open a completely different set of rules than we've ever had before, where NOMCOM appointees are appointed on their own behalf and not as representatives of an organization.
Thank you, Alan. The next in the queue is Stefan.
Philip, do you want to answer the question first?
Yes, let me try to answer Alan's question.
Sure.
Alan, I think our main concern is the role of the nominating committee appointee to council and what that means. A secondary concern, and it's almost coincidental, is Avery's position as chair. Avery stood as chair at a time when she was fulfilling the code of ethics of the nominating committee appointees and was not representing a particular interest, and that has changed. And that is part of the concern. But I think what I was saying earlier, the prime concern is that she was appointed on the basis of neutrality, and maybe that change is something that we need to consider. So as I said, we are trying to look to the future, not to the past in this action, in in moving on to ensuring the integrity of the non-compromise.
Thank you, Philip. Stefan, it's your turn.
Thank you, Chuck. It's a difficult point, isn't it? And I think because there are issues, I would commend Philip for daring to speak up and make that point. It's always difficult to speak up when you're seemingly criticizing somebody, and I think one has to be honest. Although Philip says it's not, they're not preparing to make a motion of no confidence, there is the no confidence aspect is there in what he's saying. And I'm slightly surprised that, or at least my feeling is that Avery is certainly not deserving of being of they're lacking any confidence in her integrity and the work that she's put in as GNSO Council Chair. I would say that I am not uncomfortable with people over the years evolving in their in both their position and their opinions, as long as things are made very clear. And I was surprised by the position that Avery took with regards to the NCUC. Surprised just in terms of not expecting it. But I think it was made very clearly and explained very thoroughly. So I don't think it's unreasonable for even the chair of the GNSO Council to have opinions and be able to voice them. In fact, I would go as far as to say that it's possibly necessary for everyone on the council to be able to voice their opinions. And sometimes maybe those opinions won't be directly aligned with the initial position that they might have taken when they got elected. As long as things are explained, they're out in the open, they're clear, then I'm not sure we should have a problem with it. But once again, I think it's, you know, it's obviously some people have a problem with it, so it's good that it's out in the open and we're able to discuss it. I think, you know, if we're being asked, at least on a personal level, I will say that I have every confidence in Avery, and that's not in any doubt as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you, Stefan. Before I turn to Tony Harris, I would like to ask Glenn or another member of staff to let me ask Philip a question first. Philip, are you raise this as a point of order? Are you requesting something specific with regard to the rest of this meeting in that regard, or is this something you're just allowing the ICANN General Counsel to evaluate based on the request that you've sent in?
It was raised as a point of order because it related to the chairing of the meeting, and that is something that is decided at the beginning of the meeting. So that was our reason for a choice of timing on this. As I said earlier, we are not, as the three constituencies, specifically raising it as a motion of no confidence in the chair at this time, but wanted to make council aware of the fact that this was a concern and that we had communicated that concern to the BGC.
And so you're not asking any change in terms of the chair of this meeting going forward other than for this particular item? Am I understanding that correctly?
Correct.
Thank you. Okay. Then I don't need to – you can scratch what I started to ask staff to do. That's helpful. Thank you very much, Philip. Okay, Tony Harris.
Well, I don't want to be redundant. I think Philip has answered the questions and clarified the situation. There is no nobody's questioning Avery's integrity or the way she's been handling the chair position in the council. So I'll stand down there. I don't need to say anything further.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony. Does anyone else want in the queue before I share a couple comments? Okay. Thanks, everybody, for being open and willing to discuss this, and I appreciate the what I believe was respectful way that each person did it. Certainly I want to, and I'm speaking personally right at the moment. I'll talk from a different perspective in a minute, but I certainly have not seen anything, any unethical actions by Avery in terms of her fulfilling the role of chair, regardless of whether she joined the NCUC or not. And I think that's been the case of Avery all the way through, and I believe that everybody, including Philip and the members of these three constituencies, believe that as well. One of the things, I'm one of those probably that where I find myself in disagreement with Avery as often or more often than anybody on the council. And yet, I have never seen her take advantage of her chair role in regard to the issues where we differ. So I fully respect the way she has functioned as chair in a neutral manner. And I agree with Stefan that when we get to the point where any of us on the council cannot share personal views regardless of a specific role we're playing, I think that will be a bad day for us. And I never want to see that happen. Now, I also agree with Stefan that when we do that, when we're in a role of specific responsibility, like chair or vice chair, that we need to make clear that we're speaking from a personal point of view or whatever. So I want to share that. We're always going to have people in chair and vice chair positions that have personal views, and I hope that we will always allow those to be shared. And that's not what I'm hearing. The concern being, it sounds like it's a legal interpretation of whether or not the principles of the NOMCOM or the ethics policy of the NOMCOM have been violated in that regard, and I think we need to leave that to the General Counsel's office to decide. Are there any other comments or questions in this regard?
Can I just ask a question?
Sure, Bill. Go ahead.
I'm just wondering, Philip, why you approached the board governance people about this without raising the issue within the council first. I mean, Avery said she talked to legal counsel and got a clearance. She has not been, quote, representing NCUC in any discussions. So it would seem to me that this could have been taken up in a different matter. I'm just curious why you approached it this way.
I understand that perspective. We had a different one in the three constituencies, and we were looking forward to the integrity of the NOMCOM process for the future.
Anyone else want have a comment before I turn the meeting back to Avery? Okay, thank you very much. Avery, it's all yours again.
Okay, thank you, Chuck. Okay, item 4, confirmation of chair for the IRTP Part B working group. Tim, did you want to speak to this briefly?
I hadn't planned to, but I'll just say that I was very pleased that McKaylee stepped up as chair. He's a newer participant in the ICANN processes, although he has attended several ICANN meetings, he did an excellent job as chair in both meetings. He's based in Ireland. He runs a hosting internet company. He's been there for quite a while, and probably relatively a more recent registrar, I guess, in relative terms. and as a member of the registrar's constituency. But I think you'll do a fine job.
Okay, thank you. Any comments on that appointment?
It's Alan. The only comment I have is that his name is spelled incorrectly.
That's my fault.
N-E-Y.
N-E-Y. Thank you very much. I will correct it. Is there any other comment? Is there any objection to accepting this? Do we need a vote? Does anyone would like to have us take a vote on it? Okay, then it is accepted as a consensus. Next item, the Joint CC-NSO-GNSO-IDN Working Group, the JIG. Basically, we had the, this would be part of the status, but just briefly, the CC-NSO has approved the charter without changes. We need to confirm our volunteers. Last time we had spoken with Edmund can speak to this further. We had tentatively put him in the position as the GNSO's co-chair of this group. We've had Terry Davis, Stefan Van Gelder, Avery Doria, and Chuck Gomes volunteering. I'm not clear whether Avery and Chuck have volunteered as ex officio observers or as participants. However, as GNSO Council Chair, I will participate as an ex officio observer. Chuck, you know, needs to decide for himself whether he's participating as a registry, you know, person or as an ex officio observer. We have the ability to appoint up to five. I wanted to open it, first of all, to find out if there are any other volunteers for this. We had talked about people going to their constituencies to see, because it wasn't necessary that the participants be council members. So I open up the floor for any discussions on either the appointment of Edmund as the GNSS co-chair or the membership composition of the GNSO part of the group.
Aubrey, please put Chuck in the queue.
Yes, Chuck. Anyone else? Okay, Chuck.
My plan is to participate as an ex officio member like we normally do,
okay,
with the limitation of five members on there. I don't know how hard that is, but it's there. So. And since Edmund is from the registry's constituency, I certainly believe it would be better if there were those from other constituencies that participated in this group as official members. Okay.
Thank you. So that would mean that there's essentially two full participant roles left. So we really do look for two more volunteers. I don't know if we have them at the moment. Do we have any volunteers from any of the constituencies at the moment? Okay, I'd like to ask people to still think about who in your constituency can represent your constituency within this. As I say, it was not designed as something that needed to be a council member, so if you've got IDN experts within your constituency that would like to participate, please suggest that they do. At this point, is there any objection to accepting Edmund as the GNSO's co-chair of the group and accepting the membership as it currently stands? Does anyone wish to call for a vote? Okay, hearing none, this is passed with consensus. Okay, next item.
If I can jump in here, it's Liz. Just once the group starts to gather and talk, when they can give us an idea, I think all the policy staff are on the distribution, but what kind of staff support they think they need, you know, both Marika and I are standing by to help, but just would like to have some definition around that at some point once the group gets going.
Okay, great. So Edmund, as the GNSO's chair in the group, that message, I guess, is truly for you.
Thanks, Edmund.
Sure. No, I thanks for standing by. And I think it's on the CCNSO side, I understand that they have a meeting think on the 13th, which when they would appoint the people to the group, and I think we'll target to really start the discussion then.
Okay, thank you. Anything else on item 5? Okay. Moving on, and thank you, Edmund, for taking this on and continuing to sort of lead the IDN concerns within the GNSF. The Fast Flux hosting motion. Now, we have a motion that was put on the table by Mike at the last meeting that I believe was a motion that was endorsed by the working group, and it comes out of the PDP group. We had a explanation and a discussion of the contents and of the recommendations. Mike, I don't know. I asked the question on the list and did not see an answer whether you had a seconder for this motion. And also, there were several suggested amendments that were asking for friendly amendment status. I noticed that you accepted many of them, and I have replaced the text in the motion with the new text that you provided. Chuck, I haven't seen whether there was a response yet from you on whether you accepted this as the friendly and were willing to go with the exception he mentioned, or whether you still wanted to request a voted-on amendment for the one change. And also, after basically responding to Marika's question about, so what's next after this, and then some conversations in the background with Liz, based on my first answer, I put through a proposed friendly amendment on essentially saying that a drafting team would be formed that would work with staff to figure out how this fit into the, you know, the policy plan going forward into 2010 and how to prioritize this work. So indeed, the thread that I said we needed to put through based upon, you know, Adrian's request at the beginning is pointed to in that amendment, but I haven't seen whether, Mike, you responded to accepting that or not as a friendly amendment. Having gone through that, I'd like to open up the queue.
Okay. You want me to respond to that?
Probably as good to start with you. Yes, Mike.
All right. Well, anybody else want to be in the queue? So I think, yes, your amendment is fine as well. I'm sorry I didn't reply on that yet. I think it falls into really the bigger concerns about prioritization, certainly. So it's really a bigger discussion and doesn't particularly need to be mentioned in this motion. But I thought, you know, I agreed with, I'd like to hear if Marika and Liz are happy with that as the solution, rather than having them sort of go away and draft up some proposed recommendations, which I don't think need to be all that complicated, as I said in my email to the list.
I'm definitely more comfortable with that approach because I do think, or alternatively just some direction on the level of priority and the level of council involvement that the council thinks should continue to guide us in doing the plan. So, yeah, I don't object to doing a proposed plan for council consideration. I just want to make sure that we have a sufficient understanding of what the parameters are, because I don't think there were in the document itself.
Okay, so if there's no objection, I have added in the amendment I proposed as a friendly amendment. Thank you, Mike, for accepting it. There's still the question of whether Chuck has any further issues or whether he's satisfied with the response given in regard to his proposed amendments.
Yes, and I'll respond to that now, Aubrey. Thank you. I've tried frantically on email for the last few hours since Mike gave his response to see if we could get a clear decision on the part of the registry constituency members with regard to Mike's change. Unfortunately, it's been somewhat mixed, and for right now, Aubrey, I had hoped not to do this, but I think we'll have to just vote on that amendment since it's not considered a friendly amendment.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to open the queue. So the first thing we'll need to do is look at that amendment. I should pull out which amendment it is and find out if there is a seconder for that amendment. Let me find that amendment now. Chuck, let me find it.
So, yeah, it might help to just put the two provisions one next to the other. I think we're only differing over a part of a sentence.
Yeah, it's real simple. There's just one simple phrase that Mike took out from our amendment, a phrase on indemnification, so it's pretty simple.
So could you give me, I can type in the amendment now unless I can find it in the mail list, but so you would like to replace what with what?
Mike, you want me to do it? You want to do it?
Well, it's your motion. You should probably do it.
Okay, hold on a second. Let me get it in front of me here.
No, I was thinking, Mike, Chuck, you're the one that's making the motion for the amendment.
All right.
You should probably stay at it.
Is that okay? The amendment we're talking about is the sentence that we added. We deleted a sentence and replaced it with the following sentence. And if you receive the red line I sent, you'll be able to see this highlighted. The Registration Abuse Policy Working Group should examine whether existing policy may empower registries and registrars, comma, including consideration for adequate indemnification, comma, to mitigate illicit uses of fast flux. Mike is just, and I'll let Mike speak to this, but what his suggestion was, he accepts all of it except for that the phrase in between commas there, including consideration for adequate indemnification. So he wanted to delete that, and if we delete that, Mike, I believe you're comfortable with it being a friendly amendment. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, actually, I was only really intending to clarify it. I think no matter either of these alternatives is going to result in the same work being done in the working group, so I'm not really interested to bicker about it. I'm fine with this the way it is. I mean, in other words, consideration for adequate indemnification is going to look at the agreements that are in place already. That's all I was trying to say. So it's not a problem.
So you're okay with it as proposed. Is that correct?
Fine.
As a friendly amendment? Okay. Well, Aubrey, I guess that solves that problem.
It does, except for my being confused at the moment about what I'm replacing with what.
I
guess I should...
We're just going to go back to Chuck's proposal. That's it. No problem. Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming, Chuck, that means that the registry constituency is in favor of the motion?
Yes. With the amendments we proposed, yes, Mike, that is correct.
All right. So, yeah, that's fine. No problem.
Okay. I'm still not. So...
Aubrey, Mike is now saying it's a friendly. He considers it a friendly amendment with no changes.
I understand. I'm just trying to get which of, was this A, B, or C of your changes?
It would have been C.
Okay, it was been C. So just to move the word,
I think
staff and policy work from that. Basically, you had C was.
No. I'm sorry. It wasn't C. Then it was B. I don't have the letters in
front of me.
Okay,
the B was to examine whether existing policy sufficiently empowers registrars and registries to mitigate, to be replaced with the Registration Abuse Working Group should examine.
Yes.
Okay. I will do that, and then I will put it out to... to make sure that I have it right before I'll open up for more. I have saved it. People, please go to the motions, make sure that I have gotten it right, and I'll take a cue of others who wish to discuss. I have a second for this, by the way, at the moment, as amended? Are you seconding it, Chuck?
Well, I made the motion for the amendment. Are you talking about the motion?
I don't have a second. I don't have a second on record yet for the whole motion, whether it's as amended or not. Yes.
Robert, this is Tim. I will second it.
Okay. Thank you, Tim. Okay. So please check the text that's there now. So I want to make sure that I got the substitution correct before I ask for a vote on it. Oh, I have that word replace I need to get rid of. Okay, are we okay on this one now? Since it's a vote at the end of a PDP, I will call for a roll call. Are there any comments before I do that? Anyone else wish to speak to the motion? Or I ask Glenn to do a roll call. Okay, hearing no wishes to speak, Glenn, could you please call the roll for this vote, please?
Certainly, I will call the roll. Philip Shepherd?
Yes.
Mike Rodenbach?
Yes.
Utadeke, Zahi Jamil is absent. Utadeke is absent. Christina Rosette?
Yes.
Christina Rosette? Christina?
Yes.
Yes. Cyril Chu is absent. Tony Holmes is absent. Tony Harris?
Yes.
Maggie Mansukia?
Yes.
Mary Wong is absent. Bill Drake?
Yes.
Carlos Souza is absent. Adrian Kindris?
Yes.
Tim Ruiz?
Yes.
Stefan van Gelder?
Yes.
Rudy Peragvira?
Yes.
Chuck Gomes?
Yes.
Edmund Chan?
Yes.
Terry Davis? Terry Davis is absent. Avery Doria?
I abstain. Should I give my reason now or later? My reason is, since an ethics issue has been placed upon me that basically calls into question whether I should or should not have the right to vote, I will not vote.
Thank you. Olga Cavelli?
Yes.
Of the council members present, there are...
Right. As it's a PDP motion, I should have said this up front, and hopefully no one will object to me having taken it out of order. But since it's a PDP resolution-based motion, it does get the two-day absentee ballot.
Thank you, Avery. There are 19 votes in favor with one abstention, and then we have to wait for the absentee votes, which will be in on Monday in the early hours of the morning.
Okay. I expect it will pass, but thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on then to the next, and by the way, just people know, that will I will abstain on all votes until such time as I've heard back from the Board Governance Committee on my position. Next is item 7, which is the charter for the joint ALAC-GNSO drafting team on RAA issues. There's a draft charter which has been worked on. I propose the charter. There is no second for it yet. The charter is basically, I'll go through it quickly, is first of all the motion lists the amendment, I mean the resolution that called into the action the requirement to create a charter. In that resolution, there was basically a that was recommendation 19. I'm losing it, excuse me. I've lost my place in what I'm reading. So there was a drafted registration rights charter in cooperation with the AILAC, and as part of the same resolution, the GNSO committed to creating a drafting team to discuss further amendments to the RAA and to identify those on which further action may be desirable. The resolution is the GNSO accepts the charter defined, and then the URL should be here, and I think the URL is in the minutes, is in the agenda. And that can be found at RAA Drafting Team Charter 03, September 09. And with the deliverables and milestones as set out in the charter, and invites AILAC to participate as a partner in this effort. The drafting team at its next meeting will pick a pair of coordinators, one from the AILAC community and from the GNSO and the GNSO. So that is the motion. There is the charter that has been put out, has been out for a week. Basically, the crux of it is that both activities will be taken up in one group, that one group will have two parallel activities ongoing and such. The reason for doing it in one group as opposed to two, put briefly, and Tim and others who were part of the group, I ask you to sort of step in and fill in where I leave something out or state something inadequately, is that it was really difficult, and also Mike, it was really difficult to sort of figure out what happens with the work of one and the work of the other. They need to come together at some point. Was there really reason to divide the work? And there were lengthy discussions on that. There was definitely a desire to make sure that neither bit of work blocked the other, but that the work should be cognizant of the other. And so I open up the queue and I invite Mike and Tim and Alan, who were all part of that, and if I've forgotten anyone else that was part of that, please forgive me. But the three that I mentioned were certainly, you know, main speakers in coming up to the resolution we came up to. Also, Steve Metallitz basically held the pen on the charter, wrote the original charter, and then processed all of the changes and discussions to the point where we had the charter that we have before us. So I open it up for discussion.
Aubrey, this is Tim. You can give me
Tim.
A key.
Okay, anyone else?
Alan.
Mike, did you want a spot?
No.
Alan, did you want a spot? No? Okay. Tim, anyone else wish to be in the queue at this point?
Yeah, Alan does.
Alan, okay. Anyone else? Okay, please, Tim.
Yeah, I just wanted to express, you know, that there was some discussion, as you said, about the, one group or two groups, but I think that what we decided on in the charter is a very, is a good compromise and very workable. So I thought I should mention that as being one of the biggest proponents for wanting it to be two groups. I think this works well. And then just one other comment was that there was one last minor friendly amendment to the charter that Steve was okay with, and that was in item 3 under B, where the last word in that sentence was changed from amendments to topics, as it was consistent with the rest of the points. So that would read, propose next steps for considering such topics.
Oh, okay.
So that one
didn't get into.
So who knows when, but okay.
Okay, sorry. So that one actually didn't get into this copy, I see.
Right.
So with amendment on charter, replace what with what, please?
I'm not sure where you're at. Just in the...
I only have the PDF at the moment, so if you could just tell me replace...
Okay.
With what, where?
Under charter, under B, in item 3, to replace amendments with topics. So it would read, propose next steps for considering such topics.
Okay, thank you. Alan?
Yeah, I also supported two groups, and I'm not unhappy with the way it turned out. That's part number one. Number two is in the original motion, the two drafting teams were described differently in terms of one being a GNSO group, one being a joint group. And again, I've heard no complaints or uneasiness about the way it turned out. The ALAC has not had a formal discussion on this, but there has been some informal discussion, and Cheryl also was part of the process. So I'm not expecting any problems on that side.
Okay. So I've got the resolution. I have amended with charter amended as replace under B in charter item 3, replace amendments with topic, reads proposed next steps for considering such topics, and I've included that in the motion. I will save that so people can see it before we have a vote.
And we need a second still, right, Aubrey?
And yes, we still do need a second. Thank you for bringing that up. Is there a second? Tim or Mike, as members of the group, would you like to second it?
Yeah, I'll second the motion.
That was Mike, right? Okay. Any other discussion on this at this point? Is there any objection to taking a voice vote on this motion? Do we need a roll call? If there's no objection to taking a voice vote, all those in favor of accepting the motion on creating the joint ALAC GNSO drafting team, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay. Any abstentions? I abstain for the reasons given.
And this is Maggie Manstorky. I abstain. I just have not studied or know really anything about the topic.
Okay, thank you. So it is passed unanimously but for two abstentions. Thank you. I will inform the ALAC chair, of course Alan will also, but I will formally inform the ALAC chair that we have accepted it and will invite their partnership in this group. Thank you. Okay.
Avery, could you send me the final copy at your earliest convenience?
Sure. I have to get the source from Steve. I think I only have the PDF, but I will do that once I have it.
Thank you.
Okay. There's now the NCUC motion on vertical separation. Is Bill Drake from the NCUC still here? I see we've crossed the midnight line, but as the only member of NCUC being represented in the council at this point, Bill, are you here?
Yes, but I need to get out of bed in 6 hours, so I'm going to leave soon.
Okay, but would you like to introduce the motion for that Mary has put in?
Well, sure. I mean, I don't know whether people have had an opportunity to read the background document that we circulated, but the basic feeling here is that there are obviously some rather important issues that need to be addressed in a clear and frontal way, and just bearing this in an implementation process is not the way to do it. And so accordingly, we feel that this is something where the GNSO should be initiating a policy development process and having a concerted and focused discussion on exactly what kind of approach do we want to take in the new GTLD environment to this issue. And I think that that's the arguments for that, to me, are fairly straightforward, but I don't know whether they are to anybody else. So I'd be interested to hear from people, and I don't know whether we unfortunately don't have the other NCUC people here, and we have Aubrey saying she's not voting, so I don't know whether the moment is right now for us to be trying to vote on this motion, but if people think that they'd like to tackle it, I'm more than willing to hear about that. So I'm very tired. I have to go to bed. So
okay, thank
sorry
you.
If I'm not clear.
One thing I'd like to mention is we still need a seconder on this motion, so we certainly can't vote on it until it's seconded. I'd like to open up the queue at the moment. And, Chuck, I don't know, you did get a message from Mary, and you said you were going to relay some message for her, or was that already been done?
Both Mary and Carlos sent messages to you and I and to Bill and Carlos suggesting the possibility of deferring this motion for the vote on this motion at this time if the council was comfortable with that. And I think Bill was kind of implying that as a possibility right now, too. So that they both communicated in an email that they wouldn't be opposed to deferring it.
Okay. Yeah, I also understood in her deferral there was mention of a report due out from the staff related to this topic that she felt people may want to take into account when considering the motion. Open the queue for anyone else that wishes to comment on this. Also, if there is a second, I'd like to hear it. But anyone wish to speak on this motion at this point?
Avery, it's Stefan.
Okay, Stefan, anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Stefan.
Thank you, Avery. I just want to ask if we are deferring or not. If we are deferring, I'll defer my comments as well. I do have some comments, and actually they are mostly questions. As Mary is not on the call, it may be difficult to answer them tonight. So are we deferring?
The practice is to defer a motion anytime it first comes up if there's at least one constituency that requests its deferment. So I believe I hear NCUC requesting its deferment, although I hear it in the form of we're willing to have it inferred, deferred. So I'd be most comfortable
with the registrar's constituency will probably request it if the NCUC.
I'd love to hear someone just actually request the deferment so then I can follow normal practice.
I will request that deferment then.
Okay, thank you. It is deferred. Would anyone else like to comment on this before we move on? Okay.
Just that Bill should get some sleep now.
Yes, it's late where you are. I know that.
Well, also, Stefan, if you would put your questions, to the list, that would probably be useful also.
Before that's a good idea. The more discussion we get going on the list, the better it is for the next meeting.
Absolutely.
Okay, any other issues on this item before we move on? Okay, then we're at item 9, which is schedule actions leading up to and for Seoul. The bylaws and such as have been passed, hopefully people have had a chance to take a look at them, basically did speak about the need for the council to give a more detailed plan of what would happen vis-a-vis the council on the way to transition. And Chuck basically wrote up a proposal, and Rob has sort of worked out a schedule of things. I think that schedule has been folded into our standard action item schedule, if I'm not mistaken. And so I'm not sure whether Rob or Chuck wants to take the lead on this conversation. It started out as Rob taking the lead, but with Chuck having made a concrete proposal, perhaps it's Chuck that wants to take the lead.
I can do that if Rob's okay with that. So I sent it around. Sorry I didn't send it sooner, but it wasn't created till yesterday morning, and my apologies for some of the date errors. I was rushing to get to the airport, so that's my excuse, whether it's valid or not. Has anybody not had a chance to look at it? It's just a one-pager. If anybody has not had a chance to look at it, I'd be happy to quickly go through it. In other words, I'll assume then that everybody's had a chance to go through it, so maybe it's best, Avery, for people to ask questions or make comments on it and just open up a queue on it.
Okay, great. So, yeah, the idea is to have this on the table. Obviously, it's not something that we could even consider voting on at this meeting because it's only been in people's view for a day, but it's something we would need to vote on next time, and we would need to give a report to the board in the interim to say this is what's on the table, and it is under discussion and will be voted on at our meeting of the 24th. So with that, I open up the queue for comments.
Reed, this is Tim. I'd like in the queue.
Okay, Tim. Anyone else?
Mike.
Mike. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, just a couple questions about the term of the counselors in the new council. In number two in the proposed plan, it says that each stakeholder group may determine the dates for its respective counselors, provided they're compliant with the ICANN bylaws. Am I correct in assuming that the bylaws state that the initial term for the new council is only 1 year? And
no, that's not correct, Tim.
That's not correct. Okay,
term for counselor is 2 years. Term for chair and vice chair is 1 year.
Okay. I thought I read, maybe I misread. I'll look at that again.
Well, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I went through the approved bylaws today, and that's what I recall. I don't think they changed anything with the term of counselors. It says that counselors' terms start at the end of the annual meeting and end at the end of the second annual meeting after that.
Okay. All right. That answers my question. Thanks.
Right.
Yes. You're welcome.
I believe the only issue that might have come up is if in any of the transformations, while someone is being, as it were, reappointed to continue their term from a constituency to a stakeholder group, whether the dates of that term would get adjusted any. And so I think that was the implication in point two.
Got it.
Mike.
Just a question about the timing. I'm not understanding why we would change it midweek or at the end of the week, really, of Seoul. And does that mean by implication that both of the existing council and the next council should be in Seoul?
Essentially, I believe that the answer is yes, but Chuck, you can answer that. Basically, in that first part of the week, the old and the new are sitting together. It's sort of similar to what the board does, but not exactly, and that they'd be sitting together in the Saturday and Sunday and Monday and Tuesday meetings, whatever was going on. But then come the Wednesday meeting, it would be the new council sitting.
That's my understanding, too.
Two comments on that, Mike. First of all, understand that all the activities are going to be accessible via teleconference. Sometimes that's better than others, but so it's certainly not assumed that people have to be there in person for either the official meeting where we have the new council seated or any of the working sessions before that. Second point is we really don't have any voting actions until the open meeting, the public meeting, excuse me, on Wednesday. So in essence, there's no voting actions by the council, prior to the Wednesday meeting, at which time the new council would be seated. Does that make sense?
So the new council would vote on that Wednesday?
Yes.
Okay. So I just don't really understand why people who are on the council and are being voted out would go to Seoul for, you know, the 5 days of meetings and then not have a chance to vote. So basically, why would you just not terminate them before the meeting even begins?
Well, Mike, notice item two, what I was trying to accomplish there, and I don't know whether I did it successfully or not. You guys need to determine that and maybe suggest recommendations. But what I was trying to do is give the freedom to the stakeholder, the groups, decide how they want to do that, consistent with the ICANN bylaws, because I think each of our situations, the stakeholder groups, may be different. And so I attempted in the wording of number two to do it in such a way that each stakeholder group has the freedom to decide how they want to do that. If they want to end the term, before the weekend in Seoul for anybody that's not going to continue on the new bicameral council, they may do that as long as there's understanding that doesn't make that term a partial term as defined in the bylaws. Does that make sense?
yes, that does make sense. I'm not sure that it makes sense. I understand what you're saying. I'm not sure it's the best solution to allow each group to decide that, particularly when the groups are different now than they will be then, and have different numbers of counselors in many cases.
Well, help me understand what your concern is there, because I don't get it.
I guess I don't understand why the rule shouldn't be uniform for all the constituencies, put it that way, first of all. And I'm just not sure. I'll think about it some more. I just honestly looked at this right before the meeting and started thinking about it. Two, you know, certainly could be clarified in the proposed plan, so, you know, we'll work on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyone else in the queue? I would make one comment that I think part of the philosophy behind the solution was, one, those people who are continuing have sort of continuity of term, those who aren't, and also, though, the notion that some of these decisions are really constituency and stakeholder specific, and so trying to draw a line between those things that were council decisions and those things that were decisions that really belong to the stakeholder groups and not to the council. So I think that some of the awkwardness may have to do with trying to find that line between, is it a council responsibility or is it a stakeholder responsibility to determine it?
And the key thing, Mike, I think it with regard to the meeting on Wednesday and that the board has asked is that we have a new council seated, and they gave us some flexibility as to when the terms end, I think, but so that a chair can be elected and that new council can approve the rules and procedures that are going to be recommended up through the working team that's working on that, and we can move forward from then. So whether a stakeholder group decides to end a term on the 23rd of October or at the end of the day on the 27th, just before the Wednesday meeting, that won't impact what happens on Wednesday, because either way, you have the new council seated on Wednesday.
Chuck?
Sure. Go ahead, Tony.
Could I make a comment here?
Sure, Tony.
I was just reading something which Bruce Tonkin sent about the ICANN board meeting on 27th of August. And he says, note the board did not specify any need to be seated at the beginning of the week. To the new council could be seated at the end of the week if that is what the GNSO decides. I just thought I'd mention that. I just read it yesterday.
Correct, yeah. Yeah, and I saw that, Tony, and that is correct. So I think that what that says is we have the flexibility on the council. We can be in compliance with what the board approves by deciding what we want. And one of the key things about this plan is that we would seat the new council, at the beginning of the meeting on Wednesday so that we can conduct some business that needs to happen, like the election of chair and approval of the rules.
Right. Yes, this is obvious. That was the primary reason, because otherwise what happens if that new council, it's not like the board where they then sit down and have another meeting on Friday. They sort of have their discontinuous meeting where they have the old board, they take a break, the new board meets, they vote their chair. Since our meeting is on Wednesday, we're essentially doing that, except that we're not really starting an old and a new. But the concern that we had was if we sat the new council at the end of the meeting, basically then there are no vice chairs, there are no chairs. I mean, Chuck is still vice chair, but so that was really the issue. Anyone else for the queue?
Yeah,
Avery, this is
Rob. Yes?
Stefan can go first.
Oh, okay, Stefan and then Rob.
Thank you, Rob. Very gracious of you. I'm sorry, I'm being dense here. Maybe it's just too late for me as well, but
I'm still not quite clear. What are we expecting outgoing councillors to do up until Wednesday? Take part as they would normally come, you know, make that trip to Seoul, take part in the Saturday, Sunday work sessions, and then just leave? Is there, I mean, it just seems a bit tough on them.
Can I respond to that, Aubrey?
Please do.
Yeah. Stefan, that's really up to your stakeholder group and yourself, if you're in that category, as to what you want. The idea was to give some flexibility there. Each stakeholder group may have a different opinion on it. They may want somebody that's going to be an outgoing counselor to be there for other reasons, but that's up to your stakeholder group and the individual person involved.
Can I make a comment here?
Certainly. Please.
Yes, Tony Harris again. I think getting to Stefan's question, in, at least in the case of our constituency, the ISPs, we feel there is some value to having one or two outgoing counselors available to sit with the two new counselors and sort of, you know, help them along and answer any questions they may have as to all everything that's going on. Okay, would be a sort of an added value to the meeting.
And that was sort of the reason why I think in the thinking it was made stakeholder group specific. Yes, Rob.
Thank you, Aubrey. There was another point of review that the council was potentially going to have to make that it now seems as the council will have to consider, and that's with respect to the assignment of the nominating committee appointees. A number of you will recall that in Sydney, I guess, Aubrey, you were either asked to or you had approached the nominating committee chair to highlight that issue. Roberto Gaetano of the Structural Improvements Committee also reached out to the nominating committee. And the feedback to date is that it's highly unlikely that the nominating committee will be in a position prior to Seoul to assign the nominating committee appointees to a particular position. You'll all recall there are two voting slots and one non-voting slot. So that'll be Chuck, a number 8 on this list for you guys to also determine.
And we did have, and thank you for bringing that up. I mean, we had talked about it before the meeting, and then it slipped my mind to the discussion, so thank you. And,
Can I join the queue, please?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, now?
Sure.
I'd just like to voice potentially what is my personal opinion with respect to the handing over of the council. I've mentioned this on the list. I'm not entirely sure that, even Stefan just said then, it's going to be hard for people to get to Seoul, and that's going to be tough on them, and these sort of words. Quite frankly, if it's going to be hard and tough, don't come. There's remote participation available, and from what I see, everyone's getting travel funded, so I don't really see what the issue is here. They're going to be there anyway. I agree with Chuck. Let the stakeholders work it out however they want to work out. If you don't want to come, don't come. I don't see that there's any pressure on anybody to be there, and if they do feel that there's pressure there, there's enough mechanisms in place, such as travel funding, which I completely disagree with for old councillors, there to support them anyway. So I don't really see that it's such a big deal in order to ask them to participate. Now, whether that's remotely or there, if they want to, they can. I think there is enough mechanisms in place. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak on this topic? Okay.
Just one final comment before we look at item 8, Aubrey. And that is that we will have to finalize a plan in our next meeting. So if there are, it'd be very good if there's additional discussion on the list on this so that we will be prepared to do that, because we're out of time after the next meeting to get this approved.
Thank you. So, on item 8, which is the selection of the seating chart for the NCAs. Basically, I made a set of quick options, and of course there are probably other options than the ones that I suggested. And but basically what I was looking for was options that could be presented that would basically terminate quickly. In other words, that there would be a solution in quick time. One of the ones, which of course has always been my favorite, is that the NCA sit down among themselves and figure out where they go. I know that's not a favorite among others. The second option I was proposing was that the three roles be put in the hat and that each one pull out a role, and that's what they did. And that basically leaves it up to the fates to figure out where they go. The third option that I put forward is what I call the play yard option, which is someone flips a coin between the two houses. One house that wins the flip gets to pick first. Then the second house gets to pick, and the third one is the homeless one. And the fourth option, which I offered only slightly tongue-in-cheek, is that we basically have auctions and that the proceeds go to our favorite charity. So, and there may be other options for doing it, but certainly the first three are the kinds, basically, one is leave it up to the NCAs, one is leave it to fate, one is leave it to the houses with fate deciding who picks first, but all of them come to a quick, a definite decision procedure. It doesn't have an open-ended process. So I put those three on the table for initial discussion. Obviously, I'm not part of the group of people being selected. And that's something that we also need to resolve as part of this plan. Anyone wish to speak to that?
Aubrey, was one of the options that the NOMCOM decide?
NOMCOM has pretty much said that doing a one-off this time is really not something they're into doing. That's why it's back on our laps. They, you know, basically have said, you know, when we're doing the full process and we give them full details and we go through the whole thing and they select based on that, then it may make sense. But essentially, chair of NOMCOM came back and said, really, it's something we can't do, and the NOMCOM is really not into doing it. So while it isn't a firm rejection of an absolute no, we won't do it, it was, and those of you that read the NOMCOM, please correct me, the NOMCOM's message, it was largely, we don't think it's appropriate for us to do it at this time.
Hey, Aubrey, this is Tim. Can I get in the queue?
Please. Tim, go ahead.
Yeah, is there any reason that we, I mean, do we know that the two houses are going to be in conflict over who they would like? Is it possible that if each house submitted a statement of interest in one of the NCAs, that they wouldn't be the same and it's resolved?
I suppose that's yet another option. Yes, and then you would need a follow up though that if they were the same, and as if you decide that that's the option, in order to make it a terminating algorithm, you would then need to add, and if they are the same, you know, just like with GTLDs, we go with chance or auctions. Obviously, the notion here is that we would go with chance, you know, that one would flip a coin and that's the way we go. Or you'd have to have some way to deal with the fact that if in their private motions, their private statements, they both ask for the same person, then, you know, you'd have to have some way to resolve that difference.
It's Alan.
That's what I was suggesting. I would suggest in a football game, but that's just me.
A football game? Okay, Alan. As I say, write up your proposal. Sure. Alan.
Having been one of the people chosen last in the play yard, for the third NOMCOM person to not only not get a vote but not be selected by either of the houses just doesn't start off with a real good feeling in my mouth or in my stomach.
Could I comment
on
that?
I did call it the mean option. Yes, Chuck?
Yeah. I guess it depends how we do that, Alan. I don't think it necessarily has to be have any negative connotation with it. And I'll just go ahead and share a point where Aubrey and I differ again, okay? I personally think that that I would like to, and maybe I'm speaking more for the house that I'm in right now. I don't know if the other house feels this way or not, that I'd much prefer to have someone with some experience in the GNSO being in my house, okay? And so the fact that someone was put in the non-voting role wouldn't be because they might be very good in that. We just don't know. And they don't know, that they don't have, especially in the case we're dealing with in this particular situation, I know we can't solve the problem just based on that, but we have one person who is totally new to the GNSO.
And Chuck, if I may interject, that would be a reasonable methodology.
Yeah, and that's what my
that's
feeling is.
That's different from what was proposed.
Yeah, I understand. I was going to bring that up. I was kind of not trying to jump in and let other people talk first, but Aubrey and I have gone back and forth on this because we don't have the same approach. But that would be my rationale, is give the non-voting position to the one with the least experience so that there's time to come up to speed and so forth, and then we just need to resolve the situation with the two experienced people between the two houses. So that's my thought. So I don't think that's negative if we approached it that way, a negative connotation for the person who gets the non-voting role. But others may disagree, and I welcome that.
Yeah, Chuck, if I can give my since you and I have been disagreeing, the reason that I was seeing it in the opposite manner was that I thought that the NomCom was picking someone to be functional, and I thought that the person that had been in the council the longest would be the one that was in the best position to be able to contribute to the work of the council while being homeless. So it was from a different perspective.
Thanks.
I heard someone wanted to speak.
Yeah, it's me. It's Olga.
Olga. Okay, please, Olga.
Just a comment. I had the idea that perhaps the new NCA could be the homeless, because it's really very challenging at the beginning to really be able to vote, and it's quite stressing when you have to vote and you read all the documents, but even though reading them, sometimes you are not sure about what voting, and perhaps you have to abstain or not. So in my perspective, Alan, and answering your comment, I don't think it's such a bad idea to have the new NCA as a non-voting, but also I understand Avery's point, and it also makes sense. It's another view of the same situation. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. I don't know if there are more people that want to comment now, but this is certainly something that should be continued on the list, because it is something that we need to come up with a resolution to, because I don't believe we will get a NomCom-based resolution. Any other
one
comments?
Yes. One thing for sure, Aubrey, to make, again, this is something that we probably pretty much have to decide in our next meeting 3 weeks from now. So I think we should leave this meeting with a plan of attack so we know we can get there.
Okay. Do you have a suggestion for a plan of attack other than discussing it on the list?
Well, in my opinion, it's always helpful to have somebody kind of drive the discussion and try and keep it moving. So if somebody would volunteer to do that and then try and reach some viable positions in the next couple of weeks that we could each bounce off our constituencies, I think that might be helpful. But I'm open to other suggestions, too. I just hate the idea of just letting something sit, and then we get to our next meeting and nothing has happened.
Well, I do believe that you and I could drive it, as we've been discussing it almost hourly for the last couple of days.
I'm willing to do that if the council wants us to be the ones driving it. I'm also open to somebody else doing it if they want to.
Does anybody else wish to drive it?
I would like to contribute maybe with you.
Right. Well, we were thinking of doing it on the open list, not going to a closed list.
Okay.
But if you'd like to be the one that's sort of keeping it moving, that's
okay.
Probably fine, too. As an NCA who's continuing, you certainly do have an interest in seeing it resolved.
Okay.
Anybody object? Okay. Then we can move on. So please, though, read that document, discuss it, and there will be a motion next time.
And feel free to send it to your, I mean, if you haven't already, so get it to your constituencies and so forth as soon as possible.
Do we have a I know this, the one document with the link to, I'm sorry, this is Tim. The one document linked to had the dates confused, as Chuck had explained, and then there's a red line on the Adobe Connect. Is there a corrected document then that we can get to?
Glenn,
Tim, this is Glenn. Yes, there is a corrected document, and it's under the draft documents, and I'll send you the link again.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Okay. Moving on to the status section. The first one was the board update. Because the board meeting just happened, I don't believe there is a board. I certainly don't have one cut into the wiki. There was the summary that Bruce sent out. I don't know if Denise has sent out a summary yet. I don't believe I've seen it. So, Denise?
Yes, the resolutions approved by the board at their August 27th meeting are posted on the website, and the chief item of interest to the GNSO would be the bylaws that the board approved. Margie has sent a link to the approved bylaws to the council list, and all of the other resolution items are posted, and I'd be happy to answer questions if people have them.
Okay. Anybody have any questions for Denise?
Yeah, this is Tim.
Anyone else want to be in the queue? Okay, Tim.
Yeah, I was curious about the board decision in regards to the ALAC-appointed board member and just what the next steps are there. Is it just a matter of deciding how that occurs, or is there still some questions associated with that? Do we know?
Yeah, thanks, Tim. That's a good question. There are a number of questions associated with that. The board wanted to, I think, first and foremost, come to a decision on principle as to whether they would transition the non-voting at-large liaison spot on the board to a voting position on the board. So that was the result of their resolution on August 27th, and they recognized that a whole host of additional details, including timing, still need to be worked out. And, of course, the Board Structural Improvement Committee is still in the middle of considering the board review and restructuring suggestions that came out of that. So that's an ongoing process, and ultimately they expect to make final decisions with respect to all board seats, as well as the timing and mechanism for filling the at-large board seats at some point in the future, but we don't have a date.
Could I follow up on that, Denise? Is the translate what you said correctly, then I conclude that the board's decision in the meeting last week doesn't necessarily mean that they're moving to a voting member board. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, it was simply on the matter of whether and how many voting board seats the at-large would have.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, anyone else have any questions for Denise? Okay, thank you, Denise. Olga did give a CCNSO liaison update. Any questions on that? Okay. Olga also sent in an update on the Geographical Region Working Group. Any comments on that? Okay, thank you. On joint ACSO efforts, there was the prospective GNSO SAC work. I've had Steve Crocker. I didn't send in, other than Steve Crocker sent me email. They have the beginnings of a draft charter. Chuck and I have a conversation planned with Steve Crocker tomorrow, And then after that, we'll be passing information on to the council related to what they're suggesting, with a question as to how the GNSO wants to proceed. I believe that they have the beginnings of a charter that they would like to propose. So after this conversation tomorrow, you know, assuming that we figure out exactly how to proceed process-wise, we'll be passing that information on to the council and an update on just what happened in that meeting. Any questions on that?
What's generally the topic of that work?
That's the,
internationalized registration
right.
data working group that the board requested that the GNSO and FSAC convene following Sydney.
Okay, yes.
Thank you.
Right. My memory.
Right. It was discussed at the, I guess we got a report on it from policy staff at our last meeting.
Yep.
And as I say, so I'll forward that on after the meeting. Any other questions? Okay, the RAA with ALAC, we had the motion, we discussed it, and it's any questions on that at the moment?
Yep,
okay,
so Tim.
Yes, Tim.
Just a quick question in regards to the team itself. It says, you know, is working on taking Margie's doc, et cetera, et cetera. Are those that were in the charter working group, are they automatically in that working group, or do we need to...
I believe so. I mean, I think anyone that doesn't want to be can drop out. You know, when we did the call for it went out in a certain general way that a lot of people thought that they were actually joining to start doing the work as opposed to the process pre-work. So, yes, in terms of ALAC, they'll make their own call as to their members, and we had a call out for members. I don't know whether people think we need to put out another call or not.
It's Alan. When the original call went out, there was some confusion whether they were doing the drafting team we ended up doing, or the RAA draft, or the charter drafting team, or the RAA drafting team. So I think we have a combination of people on that who may split off into the, you know, the two directions of the Y now. But I think the original, the group we had to start with is the core group we'll work for and add and subtract from that.
We didn't really bound the size of the group, so I don't think there's really a large issue there. Any other questions on that one? Okay, the possible AXO topics, that's been a topic on the list. I basically list the three topics that, first I listed yesterday's topics, then there was a little bit more work done on the AXO chair's list, and it came down to those three possibilities. As I said, I did not bring up the accountability topic in formally on that list yet, though I did mention it in an IM chat with one of the chairs, with Chair of GAC, and basically got the impression that that is one of the topics that they would see as a Thursday topic as opposed to a Monday topic, but of course it would have to go back to the GAC to really determine whether that was the case. So there were the three topics. There was general preference when just looking at the three within the AXO chairs that have spoken so far for the third one. What are the remaining impediments to finalizing the new GTLD and IDN fast track processes, and what can be done to resolve these issues? And so basically what I need from this group, and it can be done today, or I can take it out of the conversations that happen, is I've already heard some, I think one person spoke, you know, well of the third option that was offered by the AXO Chairs Group, and then put our alternate topic in, the accountability topic, into that group for consideration among, so there would be four suggestions as opposed to three. And then I basically have a question, does the GNSO really care whether it happens on Monday or Thursday? The only logistic problem with Thursday is making sure it doesn't coincide with the, you know, the GNSO's upcoming work, you know, review and upcoming work meeting, but that should be possible. So I don't know whether people want to talk it now or continue talking on the list.
Well, don't we, if we go to Thursday on that, I mean, we in the GNSO pretty much plan to be there on Thursday afternoon for the most part. There are some people that have to leave early. but at least we know it's happening. Isn't it quite possible, and maybe you can get a better feel from the other members of the AXO Planning Committee there, but isn't it pretty reasonable to expect that you're not going to get very good participation from the GAC and the and maybe even the CCNSO on a Thursday afternoon if we do it then?
There may be fewer people in attendance. I don't know if you can make the assumption that the ones that leave early are the ones that would show up on Monday.
Yeah, you probably can. You're right.
Right. And I'm not sure that correlates, but anyway.
It may not.
So do we care whether it's Monday or Thursday? Is there a strong preference among people in this group on whether it's Monday or Thursday?
Mike Rodenbaugh, I've got a pretty strong preference for Thursday rather than Monday.
Okay. And that doesn't matter what topic it is, you prefer Thursday?
Yes, among these topics, yes. I think that, frankly, you've got a lot more important topics to discuss earlier in the week.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else wish to comment on that?
Avery, Stefan here. I'd just like to ask a general question. As you're on the that planning committee for the AXO, is there a general feeling that these AXO sessions are useful?
It's a mixed feeling. I think that there's a feeling that they're useful, and I have transmitted two things about them. I have transmitted that the GNSO is not absolutely positive that they think they're worth it, and I think there's a mixed view. And I've also transmitted anecdotally that I have heard people within the GNSO saying, you know, we have to take into account what so-and-so from the CCNSO or GAC said. So I have transmitted that. I think it's mixed. I think it's still seen as an experiment. I think it's seen as ultimately useful, but as I say, within the GAC view, there was certainly if it's useful to what we're talking about this week, then it's worth having on Monday. If it's just an interesting, good topic for us all to share on, well, then let's backload it. But I'd say that the view is pretty much as mixed as I've heard anywhere. But yes, there's a general feeling that it's worth doing, but we may still need to figure out how to do it better. In fact, we definitely still need to figure out how to do it better.
Avery, it's Adrian.
Yes, Adrian.
What would the propensity be for new topics to come up? If we were to have it on Thursday there was a particular, you know, we'd heard a statement from the GAC through the week or, something came up, would we be able to change topics or add a topic for the discussion on Thursday? There may be some advantage to having it on Thursday, just that there may be some water under the bridge that may be worth discussing by then.
It's certainly a proposal I can bring to them. We have not ever discussed it in that particular aspect, but I'll certainly take that to them.
Avery, Stefan again.
Yes, Stefan.
Adrian's question makes me think that these, I don't know if how many people on the council have actually attended one, but these sessions don't really, I mean, they don't, to me, they're not discussion sessions that are useful to the parties involved. They're discussion sessions that are useful for the public around, if I can call them the public, the people that are listening in the room. I'm not sure that any aspects or any topics that are discussed in these sessions are actually, could be ironed out, thrashed out, or have any useful conclusion to them, because it's just a discussion topic. So I'm just really wondering whether, you know, with the amount of trouble that these things, I mean, most people want them on Thursday because they think they've got more important things to do before, that everyone has more important things to do before then. It just sounds to me that these things aren't, you know, that useful.
Okay. Is there a general view on that? Do others agree?
Average agent, can I comment on Stefan's comment?
Please do.
Tim, I'm back in the queue.
Okay.
Maybe this registrar should just have a chat. I agree that I didn't particularly get a lot out of the last discussion, and in fact, Yanis did a terrific job of probably one of the best ever I've seen of not answering a question by using a lot of words. He's put on the spot often because he gets no other GAC representatives responding back to any questions. If you remember some of the 3166-1 list discussion that we had last time, et cetera, et cetera, nothing was effectively answered or nor resolved. So I think unless it's a discussion in which we can call them to task on issues and engage them in some sort of debate's a strong word, but at least engage them in a discussion, then I don't think they're worthwhile at all.
Okay, thank you.
Largely because I think the GAC is driven by two or three voices, as I said on the list. And it's disappointing that you can't get a deeper level of engagement from others on the GAC. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Was it Tim next?
Yeah, I guess that was pretty much my feeling as well about the sessions that I have attended, although I'll admit the last one I did not. But to some extent, I wonder if it isn't somewhat to do with the topics chosen as much as anything else. And that's my concern about the topic being anything to do with the new GTLDs. There's so many different efforts going on. I can't see where anything discussed, in this particular forum on those topics is really going to be useful or accomplish anything. It seems like, there's a different forum for whatever your concern is, there's a different forum going on in which you have to address it. And doing it together as the AXO, I don't think, is going to really serve a purpose. But my feeling is that perhaps a topic such as accountability may be something else that's more that isn't something that we're actually we have anything organized around at this point, might be a good topic for this particular group, given that the focus could be what are the concerns and how can we perhaps organize a better effort or better interest in a particular important issue. So that might be something to consider. Is just does the topic make sense considering what we know about, the turnout and those participating and
okay.
Anyway.
Okay, thank you. I'd actually like to cut this one now. I think we should continue it on the list. What I will do is send an initial note, because they are expecting some feedback to them, saying that there seems to be a preference for Thursday. I haven't heard anyone say, no, we really want it on Monday. That there is a strong interest in the accountability topic, though there has been some interest in the third formulation, and that we're continuing to discuss this on our mailing list, unless anybody objects to that particular formulation. Okay, thanks. Moving on, because we are close to the end of time, although since we have no votes, I would like to allow people to get through the issues because I want to get to Adrian's any other issues. On the policy items, we had working group reports, quite good substantive ones, from Mike on the registration abuse policies. Any questions?
Avery, Stefan.
Yes, Stefan.
It's not a question on that. Could I just ask for a favor, if you could get to Adrian's point now and then go back, because it's 1 o'clock in France and I have to go
early
tomorrow.
Yeah, Sweden too. Okay. Does anybody object to jumping to Adrian's points and then coming back to the status?
No, but Avery, I'd like to point out that there may be one more vote.
There may be one more vote? Oh, where?
The travel motion.
Oh, we had a travel motion.
Yeah, it's carryover.
It's a carryover, okay. But we also did not reach any agreement on that. I'd like to suggest we carry that over again. Any objection to carry that one over for yet another until the next meeting? Especially since it's tied into the whole transition plan.
Well, one problem with that, it becomes almost too late for people to arrange travel if they're depending on that. But it may not matter based on what Kevin has said. I just wanted to point it out.
Right. Okay, thanks. Yeah, I should have front-loaded it as a vote. I didn't actually pay attention to it as a vote. I apologize.
This is Tim Aubrey.
Yes, Tim.
It may be over Quintana, too, but the way I understood Kevin's response to the travel group who asked some questions was that, you know, let them know what the needs are, and then they'll see if it falls within some reasonable margin of their ability to do it, and if not, you know, what other approvals and blah, blah, blah that they need. So I don't know what the, you know, what purpose we would have in the motion. It just seems at this point that, you know, those who feel they have a need, you know, that should, we should just put that together and get it to Kevin and see where it goes. I mean, that's
yeah.
Could I make a comment?
What's the point in doing much else?
Yes, Tony.
Yeah, I'd just like to support what Tim just said. That's my understanding also. And I did get a response from Kevin that this is being considered for counselors who are stepping down and would find it useful to be there.
Okay, thank you. I also, one question I've asked that I've never quite gotten an answer to, and I'd like to send that back to the travel, is I understand that some of the people deferred their usage of old DNSO funds last time to this time, and I've never seen those calculated into the responses that people are making. Perhaps I'm wrong and there weren't any remainder funds, but if there are any remainder funds, they should be thrown into this effort. And as I say, I don't remember what the status of that was, but I seem to recall that there were some funds that had been, you know, squirreled away for next time.
Avery?
Yes.
This is Olga. I did put the information together and I sent it to the drafting team. There are
okay,
some
I guess I just missed
some,
it.
Yeah, but the issue is that some of them are were not used by some constituencies. So that's what I recall. I don't have all the information right now with me, but I can circulate it again in the drafting team list if you want.
And then I guess the question for the drafting team would be, can those funds be used where they're needed, as opposed to where they were previously allocated? And I don't think that's a discussion we want to get into now, but the team should look at that.
Okay.
I'm going to jump ahead to let Adrian, and then I'll come back and see if there are questions on any of the status issues. So, Adrian, your first topic was the registrar's topic.
Sorry, I have to leave the call. Thank you. Bye.
This should hopefully only take 30 seconds. So it was discussed amongst the registrars, and we as a group felt that potentially there was an ever-widening gap in the feeling and in the understanding between the different stakeholders of the council. And so we thought, well, what can we do to address this? What can we do to sort of, stop this erosion of getting along as seems to be happening? And you know what? I'm probably the worst at it. But what we thought what would be a good idea was, maybe given that we've got a lot of new councillors and people, potential new councillors and people arriving, is that maybe on the first Saturday or at a time that everybody felt convenient, was to do somewhat of an introduction where people could stand up and give a quick brief introduction. We could all get to know them, and maybe in a little less formal sense, put forward our positions, put forward some of our past concerns, and really just put everything out in the open and just try to get a general understanding of where everybody's at. So I guess what I'm asking for, what we as a registrar constituency are asking for, is a forum by which that could be done, and maybe Glenn could organise something or put something in, and we believe that it's a great opportunity to, as I say, break down some of the walls that have potentially been built up and frustrations and everything, just to try to clear the air a little. That could be underpinned, and I'll honestly say this is my suggestion, later on having, potentially on the Saturday night, having some drinks and a little bit of a mixer, whereby once we're lubed up with alcohol, potentially we would speak more freely and Stefan and I could yell at each other. So that was really just a bit of an idea that maybe there was a social gathering afterwards without the board, without anybody else, whereby we could all just catch up and have a drink together and introduce the new councillors to potentially our points of view without them having to hear that second hand or third hand or fourth hand.
Right. So can I ask, is this something that could be satisfied perhaps by like a breakfast on Saturday morning?
It could well be. My concern
I don't mean the drink part at night. I mean the first part you asked for.
I prefer to drink at breakfast. I'm very good at drinking at breakfast, but I understand that others aren't. I think the first part definitely could be, but my concern would be whether we'd have the level of participation on the Saturday. Maybe a Sunday breakfast may be better, depending on how many people we have turning up. But yes, I think a breakfast could do that, where we could, you know, where there was some sort of formal structure around where everybody got a chance to air their grievances, if you like.
Okay, thanks. Any comments on that? Yes, please.
I don't think the breakfast session is a good idea, to be honest. If it's an informal session that we want, and I think that's what we're asking for, then perhaps something a little later on. You know, we just want to get a chance to get some informal discussion going. I don't think you can, I mean, some people find it hard to, I'm one of them, to talk much before 11 in the morning.
Okay, thanks. I guess, Glenn, do you accept this particular challenge?
Yes, I do, Avery.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
If you can propose something and then we can talk about it. Anyone else want to speak on that particular issue? Okay, the next one you had, Adrian, was prioritization of work.
Yeah, I really think you've picked up this this thread appropriately. It was just my concern, and I think I shared this concern with a couple of other councillors, is that there is a hell of a lot of work going on at the moment. And I'd just like to be, you know, maybe, although some people are passionate about some particular issues, I think at some stage you've got to sit back and say, well, yes, we understand, you know, that this is an important issue, but there are others that are more important, and potentially take some of the weight off the councillors. There's a lot of working groups going on, so I just wonder whether there is a point in time where we can sort of bring all that together and just simply say, look, can we just put this on hold until we clear the decks a little bit with some of the more pressing issues? Because it's just very, very hard, and especially with new councillors, from what I'm hearing, it's going to be very, very hard for everybody to keep up to date with all the different topics. So that's all that was, and I guess it's more just a theme to remember, and I'm trying to be as quick as possible in getting this across.
Okay, yes, thank you. As I said, I've been sort of making this transition and such the top priority and trying to balance everything else. I do recommend that the new council, once it is seated, really does an exercise on figuring out how to do prioritization. I've avoided putting it on the table this year because getting into prioritization while you're, you know, running at full speed just becomes an extra work item. And tried to put it in as a thread, but anyone else wish to comment? Okay, as I say, I recommend it to you who are going to be on the next council that this should be given a very high priority as you get into it, otherwise you'll stay in the situation, but at least you shouldn't have transition over your head anymore. Any other comments on those two topics? In which case, I'll quickly go back to the status items. Thank you. So there was the we covered the registry of abuse policies. As I said, there's been a good review. Any comments or questions? Okay. On the post expiry expiry domain name recovery working group, Tim sent in a report. Any questions, comments? Thank you. On the inter Registrar Transfer Policy Part B Working Group. We went through the selection of a chair. The group has just started. Tim sent in a report. Any questions or comments? Okay. On drafting teams, we did have the travel, and we sent there's basically questions for the group to keep working on, and Olga has left. On the IDN Working Group, that's still on hold. On the improvement working teams, there's a report from each of the teams. Are there any questions on any of those reports at this point? So that was the PDP working team, the working group working team, communications coordination, constituency operations, and council operations.
Just one comment there, Aubrey. I just want to alert people that in the next few weeks, there will probably be some recommendations for council rules of procedure. And it won't be the complete package of rules, but it will focus on those that are essential for us to have in place when the new council is seated or shortly after the new council is seated. So just be alert to that, and if you can pay attention to that in short order, that will really help.
Okay, thank you. On the restructuring efforts, I'll quickly go through and then I'll ask Rob or Margie to jump in. Status of implementation steps, we talked about that extensively in 9. Was there anything else you needed to add there, Rob?
No, Avery, I don't think so. I think it's, you know, as you noted, we've adopted sort of that timetable into the action item list. It was originally circulated to everybody as a set of suggestions that folks have, I think, just responded to and started to work toward. As I circulated a week ago, I thought it might be useful for anybody who had the opportunity to share where they are in the process on this call, but I also realize that it's pretty late and folks have dropped off already.
Yeah, I would ask people that to send that to the email list if they can at this point. On the status of the bylaw amendments, we got the status that they have been passed, and, you know, I don't know if anybody's done a diff between the ones that were suggested and the ones that were passed and to see whether anything was different than what was originally suggested. I don't know.
Aubrey,
yes.
This is Rob. I can interject there. Chuck suggested to us earlier in the week that it was important because there were potentially constituencies or stakeholder groups out there that were waiting for some triggering event, and of course that was the passage of the bylaws. But I'll put together something for the community just to remind the various stakeholders and constituencies that with the bylaw amendments now passed, you know, certain things are now effective. I mean, the stakeholder groups now exist. The constituencies in their current form as well as the transitional stakeholder group charters are now in place, and folks should start working toward completing the implementation timetable to-dos as quickly as they can.
Okay, thank you. So I guess that covers the stakeholder group charters. Those were passed last time and made valid by the bylaws being passed this time, if I understand what you just said.
That's right.
Okay. And so hopefully every stakeholder group knows what its charter is. If you don't know, please contact Rob to make sure that you're looking at the charter you should be looking at. On constituency charters, I understand that the process is still underway, and with a mid-month deadline on the updates, such as they may be from all of the constituencies.
This is Rob again, just to meld together a couple of the update items there. The staff sent out to the various constituencies, the 4 remaining constituencies, the bare minimum amendments that are needed to effectuate the bylaw amendments. As Chuck noted in his report, the work team that's looking at stakeholder group and constituency operations is getting close to finalizing their recommendations, and so as the various constituencies look toward updating their charters more substantively, they may choose to wait for those recommendations to come down the pike, be reviewed by the council and others. So that's an important placeholder there for some folks to be aware of.
Can I ask a question on that?
Yes.
Just because it occurred to me. So because those may be coming and then they'll be approved by the OSC and then they'll go to the council, did I understand correctly that any constituency that wanted to delay its update until after that happened could do so?
Only the more substantive issues. Again, what we circulated to the 4 existing constituencies was the bare minimums that, you know, things that basically reflected the wording stakeholder group or the relation of the constituency to a stakeholder group.
Oh, okay, I understand.
Very basic, right. Just to make sure that the framework still works.
Okay, thank you.
Aubrey, if I could just a real quick comment on that regard. Even when the working team submits its recommendations, and I think the turnaround of the OSC will be really fast, but then it's got to go to the council and comment period and so forth. So if they delay waiting for those things,
it might be a little impractical. It may not be impossible, but it may be somewhat impractical. So just keep that in mind, because by the time we get through a process of the council approving the recommendations or modifying them or going back to the working team, that can take some time.
March. Yep. Okay. Thank you. Any other business now that we've been through everything and we're 13 minutes over the 2 hours? Okay, in which case I thank everybody for a very pleasant and constructive meeting, and wish you all good night. After one.
Thanks, Aubrey.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Good morning from Singapore.
Good morning.
That's you, Cyril. Thank you.
Bye.